This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they are sincere, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they are not sincere, none can guide. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us, for our own benefit, our own success, our own salvation, what is translated as, O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves. Be conscious of Allah as He deserves, as is His right upon you. And do not die except that you are in a state of worship. And if you want to die in a state of worship, you must sincerely live upon it as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to sincerely live upon Islam and to die upon Iman. Allahumma ameen. As we all know, at this time every year, we tend to emphasize and share and spread the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Story to story to story to story. The objective of stories in the Quran and Islam is not that they are for mere entertainment. They're not there to entertain us. They're not there for leisure. The objective of these real incidents in history, these real people in history, is for us to take real life lessons, to make real changes in our lives. So yes, we are reminded of Ibrahim alayhi salam every year, and we commemorate the sacrifice every year, but the objective is for us to change for the better. And as a result, when we change and our families change, our communities should change and society should change. But if we are reinforcing, or rather remembering, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam every year, and we are not changing, we are missing something in the equation of transformation. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who take lessons from these stories so that we are fulfilling the objective. As for our khutbah today, for the sake of time, we want to talk about and extract three powerful lessons from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, peace be upon him, in order for us to make real change. And the way we'll do that, inshallah, is by relating it to some experiences that we have. Number one, Ibrahim alayhi salam searched for the truth. The truth of what? The truth of life. The purpose of life. He searched for the truth and he did not give up until he found what he was looking for. Until he gained or attained yaqeen, conviction in that truth. How does this relate to our lives today? And is this even for Muslims? We're living in a times in which, for most people, it is a post-truth world. What does that mean? Post meaning beyond truth. Many Muslims may not be aware of this. And many Muslims, especially if they grew up in Muslim majority countries, may not be exposed to this, but the reality of the ideologies in society today and the philosophies that people believe in different forms, of course, is that many people today, especially the next generation and the one after that, do not believe in an absolute or objective truth in terms of the reality of life, in terms of a divine reality. And this may seem to be confusing to those who hear about it for the first time. What do you mean you don't believe in a truth? It's not a matter of talking about preferences or emotions. We are talking about the objective truth, which yes, can be proven, which yes, can be intellectually proven. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not give up until he found yaqeen, conviction in that truth. When we live in a post-truth world, especially today, we find that one form of liberalism that is widespread and increasing even in the Muslim community is that people are feeling certain things, desires, shahawat, and rationalizing without any consistent reasoning certain things, and then coming to the conclusion that that is their objective. That's what they should pursue. So desires, shahawat, and al-hawa, and nafs, becomes the deity for this person. The chase and the pursuit of happiness, for many people, happiness is equated to what I desire, even if the desire leads to harm in the short term or in the long run. And while people worshipped idols at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there are still idols today. People still do worship different forms of idols today. Now, in particular here, we want to focus on the fact that for many people, when they struggle with faith, and this is not just about non-Muslims looking for the truth, when Muslims as well struggle with faith or have doubts, oftentimes, before they actually look for the truth and a satisfactory answer and go to the actual proper resources and people rather than just Googling what they're thinking about, oftentimes they will come up with subconscious excuses. These are based on real case studies. Excuses. Their desires will arise, and including their laziness, and they will decide then that I didn't find what I was looking for. There was no satisfactory answer. I have this intellectual doubt about the truth, and there's no answer out there. And wallahi, that is a lie. It is a lie. Because the truth can be proven. And if you believe in an objective truth, meaning a factual truth, you should, as a Muslim in the 21st century, at least know the question of why. Why Islam? There are many Muslims who were raised Muslims, and they are very practicing, their iman is very high, alhamdulillah. But if a non-Muslim were to ask, why Islam, they might not know how to respond. They might not know that the Qur'an is miraculous. I'jaz al-Qur'an. You're looking for a sign from God that is miraculous? Here's one on His terms. His speech, which is preserved, timeless. And if you study I'jaz al-Qur'an, you'll see the many facets of I'jaz that have been the reason and the cause for many, many non-Muslims to leave atheism and agnosticism and Christianity and many other things and to embrace the truth of Islam. As well as dala'il nubuwa, the proofs of prophethood. You need to know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truly a messenger of God. When you search for truth, you are going to search for it in proportion to how sincere you are. That's what it comes down to. I'll give you two examples from two real stories. One of insincerity. A young man who said that as an atheist, he said he wanted to see why Islam. Show me the evidences that Islam is the truth. And he was in a very argumentative mode, as is the case for many people when they go through that phase. So I said, no problem. I actually have a lecture on atheism coming up. Can you join us? He said, sure, I'll be there. The time works for me, so on and so forth. He didn't show up. And when I followed up afterwards, I said, how are you doing? What's going on? He said, I was tired. Okay, fine. Benefit of the doubt. I said, how about we read this article? I sent him an article. And let's just have a video call. Let's talk about it. You're looking for the truth. You claim to be pursuing the truth. Something that Muslims at times are claiming, and non-Muslims as well. But we don't really tune into how sincere we are. What are you really looking for? Or do you not feel like facing the truth? He didn't read the article, maybe for several months. And then finally he said, I don't feel like reading the article. I prefer talking. I said, okay, fine. Each person has their own format of learning. But if you are in the pursuit of truth, you would read the article. And this has been the case for many people who converted or rather reverted back to Islam. I gave him one last chance in these conversations. And I said, fine, how about this? I'm teaching a virtual seminar. It's online. You can access it from anywhere in the world. It's a weekend seminar. It's 16 hours and it is exactly on this topic. God, atheism, and the pursuit of truth. This is exactly what you claim to be looking for. I'm signing you up to this 3-credit course as my personal friend. So he joined the class on the roster, and also the class is recorded, and he didn't show up for a single hour of this 16-hour seminar on a topic that he claimed he had been looking for his entire life. I followed up after the seminar ended, and he said, oh, I mixed up the times. I thought it was at night. I said, you didn't say anything 3 weeks ago. What do you mean? He said, I got tired. I forgot to follow up. I said, no problem. It's actually recorded. Here's the file. Here's the folder. You can watch the recordings. Let's talk. Of the 16 hours, he watched 0 hours. Nothing. And then he stopped responding. I've spoken to, in the last 10 years, at least 1,000 atheists one-on-one, alhamdulillah. And for the most part, we can start to tell as human beings when we really want something. And we don't assume people's intentions. Because again, benefit of the doubt. But if you really want it, if you really want conviction as a Muslim, and even we say to our non-Muslim family members, community members, our classmates, our colleagues, people in society, if you really claim you're looking for truth, and you're sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that you will be guided to it. It is a promise from Allah. But if you're not sincere, then no amount of evidence or classes or articles will help you. A young man called from out of state and he said, I'm coming to Michigan and I need to talk to you. He had memorized the Quran at a young age. And when he got to college, all I knew from his family was that he left Islam. And yes, I am mentioning this story out loud and I'm sharing his story because this is something that many Muslim parents are unaware of that is occurring for many college students. This is the reality when there's no foundation of belief, when society is living in a post-truth world. He called on his own and said, I want to talk. I want to be convinced. We met at a cafe in Dearborn. We talked for almost 3 hours. It was very casual. He was very straightforward, right to the point. Found out exactly what the issue was. It was not intellectual. There was no doubt. It was a personal desire he had for a girl and a girlfriend and a relationship. And he covered it with, as shaitan does oftentimes to people who fall into that trap. Instead of leaving the sin, he doubled down on what he was doing and covered it with what he thought was shubuhat, intellectual doubts. But there are no actual intellectual doubts. There are pseudo-intellectual doubts. They aren't real. What does that mean? It means there is a response for every doubt, an intellectual response that we have access to, that we can respond to. But are you looking for it? Are you looking for yaqeen? Are you worshipping Allah until yaqeen comes to you? وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Yaqeen here meaning either conviction, in another interpretation also means your death, until death comes to you. Worship your Lord until you gain conviction and also until you die. This young man left that 3-hour gathering, and the very next day at Fajr, his family informed us, in fact, he's 21 years old. His family informed us that he took a shower and he left for the masjid for Fajr prayer for the first time in 3 years. Came back to Islam. Alhamdulillah. Now why? Why do we see two very different stories here? And both similar background, same kind of colleges, same kind of environment, same kind of American culture. If you sincerely look for truth, Allah promises you will have it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah says, those who strive in our cause, we will guide them to the path. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًا وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَامًا. And those who seek guidance and are guided, Allah will increase them in guidance and God consciousness. The question is, are we sincere? Are we really looking for that feeling that we have 100% conviction in the truth? Truth here with a capital T. Number two, and this is where we address most of our community as Muslims as well. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did not just look for the truth and he didn't give up. He kept looking and looking until he found that conviction. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam advocated for the truth with all of his community members. Where's peer pressure that we talk about? And we tell our children, be careful, people will influence you. Studies show that adults as well love to conform. And at times, adults do not like to stick out. And most studies find that psychologically, when there is an inferiority complex, when you don't think that you have something of value or worth, or you think other ideologies or ways of life or lifestyles are better than what you have, you will start to hide your Islam. You will start to change your name. You will change your appearance. You will never talk about religion. You'll be afraid to pray in public. These are signs that we do not have comfort and pride and conviction in the truth. And not only are we not advocating for it with others, we are ashamed to show it to others. When it comes to the matter of truth and idol worship, they all worshipped idols at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Today, what do people worship? The prevailing ideology, if you don't know this, you have to know this. The prevailing ideology is not only the worship of money, like we see with a neoliberal or capitalistic society. We see many people worshipping money. Now, they may worship in different ways. They don't worship like we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But believe it or not, they do worship money. And some people will be willing to give up all their principles, if they have any, for the sake of that dollar. And there are people who worship fame. We're living in a social media era. And so for many young people, they are being taught that your validation, your self-worth is equivalent to how many people know you. Whether or not you are an influencer, whether or not you have a following. Go ahead and do silly things online so that people will like, people will share, people will follow, people will laugh, people will sponsor you. And other people are looking for power. They thrive on power. It may seem to be minor. They're looking for positions in something local, or it may be something major on a national, international level. But some people worship political power and authority. It makes them feel good that I have authority to do things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. But the foundation, the deepest form of idol worship today, and the root of all of this, is the worship of desires. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى Allah says, do you not see the one who takes his desires or her desires as a god, as a deity, as an idol? Now many people say, what does that mean? I don't see people worshipping their desires. Most people today, and this is one of the conclusions of liberalism, are looking for and pursuing whatever makes them feel satisfied at a base carnal level. They're not looking for truth, they're looking for the satisfaction of a desire. Now we all know, especially as Muslims, that people have desires that sometimes are good and other types of desires that lead to harm. People have desires in society for intoxication and drugs, vaping and smoking and weed and alcohol and so on and so forth. Does that mean because you have a desire that it's equivalent to truth, that it's good morally speaking? We know the answer is of course not. We see the harms of alcohol from all facets. Psychological harms, the medical harms, the physical harms, the relationships. We know, we already see this. The wisdom of this one is crystal clear. When people worship their desires, it means that they will be willing to sacrifice anything and even anyone in the pursuit of what they desire. They'll be willing to give up the akhirah, the hereafter, if they even believe in one. They'll be willing to give up their families and their relationships. They easily cut off ties. They'll be willing to give up principles if they hold any, in the pursuit of desires. Now we ask, who is the enslaved one and who is the liberated one? The one who takes their desires as a god, as an idol, or the one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following a morality and a moral code that will lead to Jannah forever? What kind of idol worship is it when people think and feel and then follow whatever they feel? That's somehow equivalent to the truth. There's a difference between the truth and one's desires. And remember this principle, when we advocate for the truth in society, and we are not ashamed and we are not afraid to liberate others from their own self-worship, because it helps them, it benefits them, it leads them to Jannah. Remember that the truth is greater than your desires. The truth is greater than your desires. The truth is greater than your desires and the true love of Allah. If you say, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the true sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for you to choose Allah over your desires. Again, the true love of Allah and true sacrifice for His sake is for you to choose Allah over your desires. Whether it's the desire to sleep in and miss Fajr prayer, or the desire for a person to break their fast, or the desire to hold back on zakah you should be giving, or the desire to look at something, listen to something you should not be looking at or listening to. Whatever the desire may be, the truth is greater than that desire. And remember this gem from Tafsir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. The people of Jannah will have whatever they desire, whatever they wish for in Jannah. How long? Forever. And with Allah is more. More than Jannah, more than the rewards of Jannah we know about, is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You choose the truth in this world, the truth in this world over your desires for a limited time, a temporary world, limited desires in quality and quantity. And Allah grants you a Jannah with limitless, unimaginable desires as long as you want, with no limitations whatsoever. Is there any comparison in this business transaction? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased from the believers their lives, your soul, and your wealth. In exchange, He will grant you Jannah. Is this equal one for one? You're giving a dollar for a dollar. You're giving a year for a year. There's no comparison between the two. It's a drop of water to an ocean of paradise and beyond. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see that with wisdom and clarity and to pursue the truth over our desires on a daily basis. Allahumma ameen. Ibrahim alayhi salam went against his own father who manufactured idols. That's not easy to do. But the truth is greater than your desires. Ibrahim alayhi salam called people to the truth. Worship Allah. These idols don't do anything for you. Even though he was the only one advocating for that truth. And on this note, when it comes to social justice causes and issues in America and all around the world, once again, we should be at the forefront of all of that. Choosing to liberate people from the problems that they have. Because wallahi, if all human beings in the world were to submit to the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow it, we would not see people oppressing each other. We should not be seeing corruption in this country and around the world. We should not be seeing any kind of problem when it comes to wealth inequality, when it comes to systemic racism and discrimination, when it comes to foreign policies and bombs dropping on innocent people, and our funding of countries, or rather armies that are killing innocent people. We would not be seeing that if people followed the truth rather than their desires. But this is the world that we are in. And that's part of the test for the believer, that you don't just accept the truth and you follow it. You must be advocating for it in society. You must not be afraid. You must not be ashamed because you're not calling to something shameful. In fact, people who have no shame, no moral principles or compass, they're not ashamed to advocate for their lifestyles. They're not ashamed to advocate for a falsehood. So why would you be ashamed to advocate for the truth when you know that the truth will liberate people? When you know that solving the problems in America that we see cannot come about fully and properly except through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down of objective morality. Obviously, this will require tactics, a strategy, coalition building, working with other people of different religions and backgrounds, but without ever compromising on what we know to be the truth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and guide others through us. Allahumma ameen. If you ever see a problem in your locality, whether you're from Farmington Hills or any of the neighboring cities or Dearborn, Detroit, anywhere in Michigan, or if you're from out of state, may Allah bless you as well. If you see a problem in your locality as a Muslim and there is a potential to change it, but it's not changing, it's likely because, one of many factors, it's likely because not enough people are taking that responsibility of advocating for the change, of stepping up, of voicing their concerns, of campaigning, of talking, and so on and so forth. We have the ability to change many of the problems we see, but not enough of us are doing that. We don't engage enough politically. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the wisdom and the vision and the proper strategy in order to effect change in society. Allahumma ameen. Ibrahim alayhi salam pursued the truth. He advocated for the truth. He called others to worship Allah. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid. And in fact, this is why people eventually would believe in a truth. Because a person who believes in it does not give up on advocating for others. You are seeing people fall off a cliff. Why would you not stop them? You're seeing your child run towards a fire. Why would you not prevent them? You're seeing somebody hurt themselves. Why would you just watch and say, do whatever you want? I'm not even going to make you aware that there's something better, that there's something safer. And number three, Ibrahim alayhi salam was resilient and obedient to Allah. This is where humility and submission, Islam, comes in. When he was commanded to sacrifice his own son, and we know the story, He was commanded to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine? Especially for the parents here. May Allah bless you all and your families. And if you're not a parent yet, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you righteous children. Can you imagine being commanded by Allah to sacrifice your son, your daughter? Ibrahim alayhi salam was obedient, and in fact his son was also obedient. فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. Do whatever you are commanded by Allah. And right before the sacrifice was to occur, he was stopped. Ibrahim alayhi salam was stopped and prevented. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him they had passed this test. And in fact, an animal was brought down, or animal rather was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter instead. And this is what we commemorate every year. However, don't stop in your impression of this story and this incident. Don't stop by only thinking about the udhiyah that we give and the people who benefit, and that's its own topic. The food that is distributed around the world, the meat that is given to many people who only eat meat once a year during Eid al-Adha. That's not where the story ends. That's not where the lessons end. Ibrahim alayhi salam emptied his heart of everything, including his own family. He emptied his heart of everything and was willing to obey Allah's command. Meaning what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of the love of Allah, filled his heart. And he was given his son back on the proper basis of detachment from everything of a dunya and the full love and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why his nickname is Khalil al-Rahman, the friend of the merciful, Ibrahim alayhi salam. His legacy is summarized by this nickname. And we take from this story another lesson. On a daily basis, we all have attachments to certain things. And some people are more attached than others, and to some things you are more attached than to other things. You may be so attached to a lifestyle, something that is not guaranteed forever. You may be attached to certain material things, that if it were to be taken away from you, you would react a certain way. And you lose your composure, and you become angry, and so on and so forth. Proper detachment at the highest level that we strive for is to empty your heart of everything of a dunya and fill it with the love of Allah. Because eventually everything of a dunya will perish. And we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If you detach your heart from this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the tranquility and the sweetness of experiencing iman in the next life, of looking forward to the next life, and will also give you the things of this world, even though these things, at dunya may be reluctant, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Detach your heart from temporary things and attach your heart to Allah the Eternal. If you attach yourself and your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have consistency in calling upon Allah, consistency in dua, that the one who responds to you is always there and will never disappoint. Whereas human beings at times may disappoint. Worldly things will come and go. What you have of wealth rises and falls in terms of profits and losses. And eventually everything will depart from us, and we will depart too from this world. Attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Eternal, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, the one who admits his servants into paradise. Attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who forgives you. Every time you turn to him and you ask him for forgiveness, he forgives. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive and loves the servants who seek his forgiveness. Attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sacrificing your time, your energy, your wealth, your health for his sake, and you won't regret it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are attached to Allah and detached from ad-dunya. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who feel the richness of iman through proper submission. Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. O mankind, it is you who stands in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stand in need of Allah. And Allah is self-sufficient. And Allah is most praised. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, guide us, and increase us. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oft-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. In conclusion, with these three lessons, number one, seek the truth and do not stop seeking truth. Seek the truth and do not give up on it. you will attain conviction, yaqeen, in proportion to how sincere you are. Now, this requires for many of us to seek knowledge, beneficial knowledge, because knowledge is not all the same. Beneficial knowledge that will lead to that light in your heart, and the light that will guide to paradise by Allah's mercy. Number two, share the truth with others. It's not enough as a Muslim to just believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ignore your family, to ignore your community when they have a right upon us, that we are to liberate them from things that are harmful to them. Share the truth with other people and don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, it is more shameful to hide the truth than to share it with others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and grant us the bravery and courage that is necessary to spread the truth in this world. And if you truly want to benefit the world, then it is necessary that Muslims, especially as minorities in this country, that we engage politically as much as we can. That we engage and we work with other groups without compromising on a single principle of truth. We work on common objectives. We work on shared goals in order to reach a better place, in order to overcome many of the forms of immorality and self-worship that we see around us, and in order also to spread objective morality. Share the truth with other people. And number three, focus on your love of Allah. What are you sacrificing for Allah on a daily basis? Focus on your love of Allah and the sacrifices that you make and the detachment that you're working on from worldly things, and continue to advocate on behalf of those who are oppressed locally and globally. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us and to allow us to benefit from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam in order to make real changes in our lives, in our communities, with our families, and for the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us His love and the love of every deed that brings us closer to Him and the love of those whom He loves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا ولوالدي والدينا. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم ارزقنا الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان، في كل مكان، في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.